Spot the difference. As November brings us to the door of winter in the northern hemisphere, so the birds that have left us and migrated south are now knocking on the door of spring in the southern hemisphere. The great seasonal cycle is complete again, and while our woods may have fallen silent, our lakes and fields have come alive with flocks of new arrivals. Wildfowl and gulls vie for space at the lake, while out in the fields a host of smaller birds, skylarks, meadow pipits, finches, linnets and yellowhammers, make the most of the grass seed heads and crop remnants. Unlike the secretive and often solitary tactics employed by birds during the summer breeding season, the strategy is altogether different in winter. The camouflage of leaves and crops disappears as wind blows and fields are ploughed, leaving wildlife out in the open. For many birds, this means that shelter and safety must now be found in numbers, and so we are treated throughout the winter months to flocks of birds, sometimes in spectacular formation, crossing our skies, flying into roost or feeding in the fields. While many of us have probably enjoyed the extraordinary twisting formations of starling murmurations or the V-shaped skeins of geese and gulls, how many of us have paused long enough to examine flocks of birds in detail? Now is a great time of year to do this, and while it is tempting to dismiss flocks of gulls as just seagulls or wildfowl as simply ducks, there are rewards to be had for taking the time to sift through a flock more closely. Hidden amongst the more common species can be some of our lesser-known birds, and it takes time and perseverance to find them, not least because these rarer individuals are often superficially similar to the rest of the flock. I came across one such flock whilst out walking recently, a flock of chaffinches feeding along the edge of a ploughed field. Watching them for a while, it became apparent that I was really only watching half the flock, as there was a constant toing and froing from field to hedge by the birds, such that at any one time half the flock fed in the field, while the other half sat hidden in the bushes. Out of habit, I began to check through the flock, briefly examining each chaffinch in turn, admiring the colourful pinks and greys of the male birds, and the subtler browner tones of the females contrasting with their white wing bars. Subconsciously, I was searching for the different bird, and on this occasion it wasn't long before I found it, a brambling. Rather than the pinky-grey hues of the chaffinches, the brambling is altogether more orange and brown, with noticeable orange shoulder feathers and a bright white belly and rump. Towards the end of winter, you may even see male bramblings developing the striking black head of their summer plumage. Once caught in the binoculars, the brambling is clearly a different species, but as part of the flock, it would easily go unnoticed as just another chaffinch. The immediate thrill that tingled down my spine reminded me that that latent hunting instinct is still alive and well in me, and that it continues to fuel my enjoyment of wildlife watching. The appearance of the unusual or rare amidst the everyday never fails to delight. It is not just the different plumage of the bird, but the fact that it is out of the ordinary, and with that comes echoes of the wild and places less familiar to us. While the chaffinch is our second commonest breeding bird and resident all the year round, the brambling visits our shores in winter, travelling down through the continent from Scandinavia. You are most likely to encounter this bird, like I did, in small numbers as part of a bigger chaffinch flock, usually in close proximity to its favourite food, beech mast. If you are lucky and have a bird feeder full of seeds, you might even find one visiting your garden this winter.